Today on Life Talk.
Since he knows where you are and the pit you're in and the lion you're facing, he also knows how you feel. In Hebrews 4, verse 15, we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But he was tempted in all points, every way like we are, yet without sin.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
It's not everyone who can kill a lion on a snowy day while standing in a slippery pit. Hi, and welcome to Life Talk. I'm Jeff Wickwire, and thank you for joining us. Today, we're continuing the series, The Unsung Heroes of the Bible, with part two of the message, Benaiah the Lion Killer. You know, one of the great things about the Bible is the way it illustrates with a simple story a life principle that is impossible to forget once you know the story itself. Just such a story is that of a man named Benaiah who found himself facing a lion in a slippery pit on a cold, snowy day. Talk about being up against all odds. Benaiah's is a story of courage, resolve, and incredible victory that I believe is going to strengthen you in your own battles against the devil, who Peter said was like a roaring lion. So in a spiritual sense, we too are up against a lion. And as Benaiah got the victory against his lion, we also have been given great victory against our spiritual lion by the power of Jesus Christ. So let's go right to part two of today's message, Benaiah the Lion Killer.
Both David, who was a type of Christ, and Jesus put people in categories, not in a demeaning way, but in a structured way. And we read last time and looked last time at his top three mighty men. Now today I want to move down into the 30, because Benaiah was among the 30. He had actually been made captain of David's bodyguard, and he was made captain of David's bodyguard based on three great, incredible deeds of valor that he did, for which he became famous. Now the first one was he smote these two lion-like men of Moab. This feat distinguished him because these two men were clearly by their names, ferocious, serious, awesome fighters, and he took them on at the same time, one against two, and he won the battle, and David said, notice that. Now, the second great deed of Benaiah was that he fought an Egyptian, this man of great stature, 9 feet tall, about the size of Goliath, who David brought down. This man had a tremendous spear. It says like a weaver's beam, 6 or 7 inches thick. We would liken it to something like a flagpole. He just had this awesome, frightening spear that because of his size, he was able to handle and hurl with great accuracy. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, met this huge man with this great spear, and using only his staff, he somehow knocked it out of this giant's hand, seized it, and killed the giant with his own spear. And David said again, that's impressive. Now, these first two deeds of valor were done in front of others. No doubt in my mind, when he slew the two men of Moab, there were others watching. It was public. When he slew this giant Egyptian, it was public. He was the part of an army, 9 feet tall. You can't do that in private. But this third deed, when he killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day, nobody was there. We could say that it was a private victory that brought him public promotion. Now, I want to learn from Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and let me just show you a few things we can learn. First, we see that the three enemies that Benaiah overcame are all types and shadows and pictures and illustrations, symbols of the enemies that you and I face today, every single day. Matter of fact, the New Testament identifies These three enemies, his three victories, identify three enemies in our life that the New Testament recognizes and tells us that we are at battle with. Now, first, we're told that Benaiah smote two lion-like men of Moab. So the Moabites, very important here, were closely related to the Israelites through Lot and grew up right next to them, the wheat with the tares. Now, here's how it matters to you and me. We have an enemy within us that we also are related to. In the New Testament, it's called the flesh. It's referred to as our self-life or the old life. And Moab in the Bible is a picture of the flesh throughout the Word of God. Moab pictures, illustrates, symbolizes the flesh. So just as Moab was related to Israel, our flesh is related to us. It's part of us. We can't get rid of it this side of heaven. We can crucify it. We can walk in the Spirit, and if we do that, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But let you or I go without walking in the Spirit, and we will walk in that old Moabite, that old flesh. And so Benaiah, figuratively speaking, got victory over the flesh. Now next we're told that Benaiah slew an Egyptian, this 9-foot-tall giant. Egypt is also used as a type or a picture of another enemy throughout the Bible that the Bible, New Testament, warns us about. Egypt was the leading nation of the world of that day. Egypt was the nation that ruled the earth. It possessed vast armies and awesome temples, its pharaohs with all their pomp and splendor, and its libraries and accumulated wisdom were the envy of the world. But Egypt is a picture of the superficial glamour and empty glory of the world that promises what it never delivers. The world calls to us, but it's empty. There's nothing in it. Now, I don't mean God's creation. I love God's creation. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the world system over which the devil is God. John warned about it and said, "Love not the world system." Because here's what's in it, nor the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, that being, I don't need God. We don't need God. We're going to live life without God. That's the boastful pride of life. Lust of flesh, lust of eyes, boastful pride of life, don't need God, are not from the Father, but they are from the world, and the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. We are to not love that evil world system. So this second victory of Benaiah over a giant Egyptian is clearly an illustration of a man who also overcame the world. So we've got our mighty man Benaiah. First, he defeats the flesh. Now he's defeating the world. I'm encouraged by him. Because if he can do this without the New Testament, without the filling of the Holy Spirit, without the Lord Jesus Christ living in his heart. He had an example, and the example was David. That was the Old Testament type of Christ, or one of the Old Testament types of Christ, but that's it. He didn't have what we have, and yet he overcame the flesh, and he overcame the world, and it didn't stop there, because this mighty man, Benaiah, also overcame the lion. He killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Now, the parallel for you and I is clear in this third victory. Our enemy is the devil, and Peter said he's like a lion. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He roams around looking for somebody, literally in the Greek language, it says to eat alive. He's a devourer, a destroyer. So here in Benaiah's story, we see a man defeating the three great enemies of the Christian in a figure. That is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's why he's called mighty. And can I tell you today, church, we're called to defeat through Jesus Christ the world and the flesh and the devil. Now, I want to go back to the lion. Everybody in here, everyone, has a lion in your life. For Benaiah, the lion was the worst possible foe he could have encountered in a pit on a snowy day. And most of us have something like that. It's leaping into your mind right now as I speak. You're already thinking of what your lion is. It's something you fear, or it's a weakness that stalks you and it has stalked you for years. It's the lion in your life. It might be a painful memory lurking in the shadows, ready to pounce if you start thinking about it. Maybe the loss of a loved one, you haven't been able to get over it, or some haunting memory you've got of abuse, or maybe of a sin you committed, and though God's forgiven you, you can't forgive yourself Sometimes we need to look in the mirror and say, I forgive you. But you can't forgive yourself. You know that God has, but you can't let yourself off the hook. And it's like a lion. It comes at you. And you start to serve God and it pounces. It's there in the theater of your mind, always lurking. And you have wondered if you're ever going to have victory over it. The worst possible foe, the thing you have battled more than anything else, that's the lion in your life. But this Benaiah man, amazing. Because he not only met the worst possible foe, he met him in the worst possible place, a pit. If you're going to fight a lion, the one place to avoid is a pit. If I'm going to fight a lion, I want to be in a great big open field with plenty of running room and some trees with low limbs. Because I don't want to be with my greatest foe in a pit where I can't get away, where I'm trapped, where there's no escape, and I'm going to have to face him. But sometimes God allows us in a pit so that we will face our lion and once and for all deal with him. But it even got worse for Benaiah, because Benaiah met this lion in a pit on a day when snow had fallen, and that just tripled the treachery of the situation. Because snow numbs the fingers, and he was using weaponry like a sword that he could hardly hold onto in that cold because the snow had fallen. He was with a lion in a pit on a snowy day. He couldn't hardly hold onto the sword. Snow numbs the fingers, makes it difficult to handle weapons. Snow makes footing treacherous and slippery. You're going up against a lion and your feet are slipping underneath you. You're going up against a lion and you can't hold your weapon. You talk about the odds stacked against you. Here's what you do when you're in a pit with a lion on a snowy day. You say, Lord, I give you this lion. Because if you don't come through, I'm cooked. Lord, do you see this lion? Because he's coming at me and my feet are slipping underneath me and I can't hold on to the weapon. And man, this is not a good situation. This is not what I planned on when I woke up this morning. And isn't it funny how our lions approach us in our weakest moments? Isn't it something, the way the enemy can bring your lion your way when your feet feel slippery, you're not having your best day, you feel like you can't hold on to the weapon called the Word of God very well, you're kind of struggling with some things, and right when you're in that pit on a snowy day, here comes your worst foe.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry, you can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too, so let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Now, here's the deal with this story. I want to know how he won. At first, there's no clue, but then I find there is a clue. And the clue as to how he beat a lion in a pit on a snowy day is found in his name. In the Bible, when you want to know what a man or a woman is like, you look at their name, because God intentionally named people according to their character and their call. That's what he did. We see in Scripture that God would change the name of somebody who he had touched and changed inside. He would then change their name to catch them up with it or to newly identify them. If we lived in the Old Testament, almost everybody in here would already have had a name change. Because how many of you can say, the Lord has changed me? I'm not who I used to be. Well, see, you would have a different name if we lived in the old. God would have changed your name. For instance, Jacob meant usurper, supplanter. We might say con man. But God changed his name to Israel, which means prince with God. When Jacob went through a transforming experience in his life with God, God changed his name. He changed Abraham's name from Abram, meaning exalted father, to Abraham, meaning father of a multitude. He changed Sarah's name from Sarai, meaning dominating, to Sarah, meaning princess. I think Abraham liked the second one better. Jesus changed Peter's name. He said, your name is Simon. It's not going to stay Simon because of what I'm going to do with you. I'm going to make you like a rock. And so I'm going to change your name from Simon to Peter, the rock. And that's exactly what happened to him. He became like a rock. in Christ. So God names people according to their character. So that being said, what does Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, mean? Well, you'll notice that he's always named after, with his father coming after it. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. So his father's name is also important in the name and in our understanding who he is. If you take the meaning of those two names, you get the secret of how to kill a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Jehoiada, his father's name, means God knows. Benaiah means God builds. Can you say it with me? God knows. God builds. Please remember that, because many of you in here are dealing with a lion as I speak. If you're not, you will one day, because we are in a battle on this earth, and there's two things you've got to remember: that God knows and God builds. Those two truths will empower you to defeat your lion in a pit on a snowy day. First, let's deal with them. God knows. When you face your lion, it's important to remember that God knows where you are. God knows. God never looks down and says, well, I'll be. What are they doing in that pit with a lion in a snowy day? He knew you were going to end up in the pit before you got there. He knew the lion you were going to face before the lion was ever born. He never says, well, I'll be. He says, I already knew. God knows. He knows all about your pit. And he knows all about your battle. He knows all about your lion, how he got in your life, how he's going to be defeated, and what he's going to do in your life as a result of the victory you're going to get over that lion. I love the fact that God knows. David wrote, oh Lord, you have looked through me and you have known me. You know when I sit down and you know when I get up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You look over my path, the road you're traveling down. If you're on the narrow road or the broad road, God knows it, and he knows your path. He knows your next step, and he knows you're lying down. You know all my ways very well, said David. Even before I speak a word, O Lord, you know it all. God is the only person who can say, I'm a know-it-all, and I'm not bragging. God knows it all. He knows your name, your address, your weaknesses, your lions, your stumbling blocks, your pitfalls, your battles, your questions, your perplexities, your confusions, your disappointments, your disillusionments. He knows it all. And since he knows where you are and the pit you're in and the lion you're facing, he also knows how you feel. And that means a lot to me, because the Bible says that in Hebrews 4, verse 15, we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was tempted in all points, every way like we are, yet without sin. So when you're angry or remorseful or impatient or tempted to get bitter, somebody's betrayed you, wronged you, done you dirty, you feel dropped in life, you feel left out, you're not feeling great about yourself or about where your life is right now, God knows how you feel, and he feels what you feel because he's been there. In every way, he has been tempted as we are. So he knows exactly how we feel. Corrie ten Boom, I read recently, told the story, the Dutch woman whose family was taken into Nazi concentration camps in World War II, Dutch Jewish woman, taken in Nazi concentration camps, and her sister, Bessie, I believe it was her name, Bessie, they were there. They got brought into a room with other women full of Nazi so-called doctors, and they forced them to strip naked. And these leering, contemptuous men stared at these learned, educated, classy, God-loving Jewish women with contempt, and there they stood there naked, and they felt ashamed, and they felt wronged, and something came to Corrie, and she turned to her sister and said, Bessie, remember, Jesus was naked on the cross. Bessie said, that helped me, because then I knew he understood how I felt. There's nothing you're going through that he doesn't feel with you. Isn't that good news? So say with me, Jehoiada means God knows. And then it says God builds. God builds. I can go through almost anything if I know that God's going to build something in my life through it. I can go through anything as long as I know that God has said, I'm going to work this together for your good. I can go through anything if I know he's with me in that pit, and he is with me in the pit, and he's with you in your pit. He's right there with you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego learned that well. They refused to worship the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. They threw them into a burning fiery oven that was so hot, it incinerated the men that threw them in. Nebuchadnezzar thought, that's the last I'm ever going to see of them. But they went down into that pit whole. And as Nebuchadnezzar looked down, he said, wait a minute, didn't we throw three down in there? And somebody said, yeah, there were three. And he said, well, I see four. I see a fourth man, and he looks like the Son of God. Yes. And so Jesus appeared in the Old Testament in this story. Jesus appeared and got into the pit with his men who refused to compromise. Folks, listen, in our future in America as believers, we better learn how to get a real stiff spine made of steel and say, I will never worship anything but the Lord my God. I will never worship anyone but the Lord my God. I'm not going to do it. And all that was burned off of them down in that oven was the ropes that held them bound. And they got set free down in the oven. And that's what I want you to see, is that when you get into an oven, you get into a pit, and you're facing your lion, and it's snowy, and it's treacherous conditions, and you don't feel at your best, there is one in that pit with you, and he has already said, I'm going to fight your enemy for you, through you, with you. And though you can't face him alone, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have the ultimate lion killer lives in our soul. Paul said, we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. We know this because God decided in advance that we would be conformed to the image of his Son. Paul went through such heartache and sorrow and pain in the ministry. Unbelievable. He received the whip that Jesus got 5 times. And he wrote about it. But then after writing about his pain, he said, guess what? This light affliction is but for a moment. And it's working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, when it comes to the child of God, the devil is never allowed to say, checkmate. God always says, checkmate to our enemy. When a Christian goes through heartaches, pressure, problems, and tribulation, they always emerge softened, mellowed, more loving, warmer, and more compassionate, because through it all, God builds Christ in us. Say it with me again. God knows. God builds. Yeah, no matter what you're going through, you're going to come out better for it. I have people come up to me that have known me for a long time and say, you're nicer than you used to be. They start making me feel like I was terrible or something, but they don't mean it that way. They just say, you're softer, you're more approachable, you're nicer, you're different. And that's because no matter what you go through, believe me, I was in a pit with a lion on a snowy day, but I found out that I was not alone, but there was one in there with me who had declared war on my lion and who had said, I'm going to bring you down to the lion. And I came out of that pit softened, mellowed, more loving, warmer, more compassionate, because I have compassion on people going through things, because I have gone through things. And I can tell you that the enemy wanted to take me out, and he wants to take you out, but God will never allow you to remain at the mercy of your lion. He will see you through. Come on, church, I'm telling you today. Paul came out on the other side of it, and I'm going to say this in closing. He said, this happened so we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He said, I learned a huge lesson in that pit with a lion on a snowy day. We thought we were going to die. He writes, we thought we were going to die. We didn't have the strength to keep going. We didn't think we could live. We thought we would die. He openly says that in 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. But they came out of the pit, and he said, here's what I learned. God kept us from what looked like sure death. He is keeping us, and he will keep us. In the future, past tense, he kept us. Present tense, he's keeping us. Future tense, he will keep us.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to LifeTalk.